Gomez knew this man's high political place in the international brigades, and he knew this man would know where Goltz's headquarters were and be able to direct him there. He did not know what this man had become with time, disappointment, bitterness, both domestic and political, and thwarted ambition, and that to question him was one of the most dangerous things that any man could do. Knowing nothing of this, he stepped forward into the path of this man, saluted with his clenched fist, and said, "Comrade Marty, we are the bearers of a dispatch for General Goltz. Can you direct us to his headquarters? It is urgent." The tall, heavy old man looked at Gomez with his outthrust head and considered him carefully with his watery eyes. Even here at the front, in the light of a bare electric bulb, he having just come in from driving in an open car on a brisk night, his gray face had a look of decay. His face looked as though it were modeled from the waste material you find under the claws of a very old lion.
"You have what, comrade?"
he asked Gomez, speaking Spanish with a strong Catalan accent. His eyes glanced sideways at Andres, slid over him, and went back to Gomez.
"A dispatch for General Goltz, to be delivered at his headquarters, Comrade Marty."
"Where is it from, comrade?"
"From behind the fascist lines," Gomez said.
André Marty extended his hand for the dispatch and the other papers. He glanced at them and put them in his pocket.
"Arrest them both," he said to the corporal of the guard. "Have them searched, and bring them to me when I send for them."
With the dispatch in his pocket, he strode on into the interior of the big stone house. Outside in the guard room, Gomez and Andres were being searched by the guard.
"What passes with that man?" Gomez said to one of the guards.
"Está loco," the guard said. "He is crazy."
"No, he is a political figure of great importance," Gomez said. "He is the chief commissar of the international brigades."
"A pesar de eso, está loco," the corporal of the guard said. "All the same, he's crazy. What do you behind the fascist lines?"
"This comrade is a guerrilla from there," Gomez told him while the man searched him. "He brings a dispatch to General Goltz. Guard well my papers. Be careful with that money and that bullet on the string. It is from my first wound at Guadarrama."
"Don't worry," the corporal said. "Everything will be in this drawer. Why didn't you ask me where Goltz was?"
"We tried to. I asked the sentry and he called you."
"But then came the crazy and you asked him. No one should ask him anything. He is crazy. Thy Goltz is up the road 3 kilometers from here and to the right in the rocks of the forest.
Can you not let us go to him now?"
"Nay, it would be my head. I must take thee to the crazy. Besides, he has thy dispatch."
"Can you not tell someone?"
"Yes," the corporal said. "I will tell the first responsible one I see. All know that he is crazy."
"I had always taken him for a great figure," Gomez said, "for one of the glories of France."
"He may be a glory and all," the corporal said, and put his hand on Andres's shoulder. "But he is crazy as a bedbug. He has a mania for shooting people."
"Truly shooting them?"
"Como lo oyes," the corporal said. "That old one kills more than the bubonic plague. Mala más que la peste bubónica. But he doesn't kill fascists like we do. Que va, not in joke. Matabichos raros. He kills rare things. Trotskyites. Divagationers. Any type of rare beasts."
Andres did not understand any of this.
"When we were at Escorial, we shot I don't know how many for him," the corporal said. "We always furnish the firing party. The men of the brigades would not shoot their own men, especially the French. To avoid difficulties, it is always us who do it. We shot French, we have shot Belgians, we have shot others of diverse nationality, of all types. Tiene manía de fusilar gente, always for political things. He's crazy. Purifica más que el Salvasan. He purifies more than Salvasan."
"But you will tell someone of this dispatch?"
"Yes, man, surely. I know every one of these 2 brigades. Everyone comes through here. I know even up to and through the Russians, although only a few speak Spanish. We will keep this crazy from shooting Spaniards."
"But the dispatch?"
"The dispatch, too. Do not worry, comrade. We know how to deal with this crazy. He is only dangerous with his own people. We understand him now."
"Bring in the 2 prisoners,
came the voice of André Marty.
"Queréis echar un trago?"
the corporal asked. "Do you want a drink?"
"Why not?"
The corporal took a bottle of anise from a cupboard, and both Gomez and Andres drank. So did the corporal. He wiped his mouth on his hand.
Vámonos, he said.
They went out of the guardroom with the swallowed burn of the anise warming their mouths, their bellies, and their hearts, and walked down the hall and entered the room where Marty sat behind a long table, his map spread in front of him, his red and blue pencil with which he played at being a general officer in his hand.